episode number 264. It's happy hour for auto workers.
Live from the Motor City, Detroit, Michigan, it's the Camaro C28.com podcast with your hosts Chris Frezza and Jason Debler. Strap in, it's the Camaro C28.com podcast on the air.
And welcome back, everyone, for another exciting episode of the Camaro C28.com podcast. I'm Chris.
And I'm drunk. And really? I'm on the job.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Good thing I'm not putting cars together, aren't I?
Jeez. That'd be tragic.
Yeah. You know, because people actually get in these vehicles that I put together when I'm drunk and or stoned, and they have the potential for something to go wrong and plow into a family of six that's just sitting there at a stoplight. What's the big deal?
What do you know? Crazy.
Yeah, we're going to take a departure from the usual good-natured things to do a little bit of, I don't know, ranting, I guess. I don't know, a public service announcement on behalf of Chris and Jason here. So the opinions expressed are solely thereof, Chris and Jason, and you know, if you disagree with us, we respect that as long as you respectfully disagree with us.
Right.
And, well.
Because we're going to let loose this
episode. Yeah, I think it needs to happen. I'm rather upset by all this. So, Chris, why don't you
just get right into it?
Yeah, for those who haven't been following the news and haven't heard about it yet, if it's not from us, you're going to hear it from somebody else.
Because this just broke this morning in Detroit.
Yeah.
And, of course, everybody's up in arms because, you know, the big three, Detroit, I mean, our economy is still based on the big three.
That's right.
And, you know, with all the government bailouts, paying, you know, to keep GM afloat and Chrysler afloat, this kind of irks people in a really, really bad way.
Well, it should.
And I can't say that I'm surprised by this, but anyways... So what happened here? So we get a reporter, one of these reporters here from the local Fox affiliate.
Fox 2 problem solvers.
Yeah.
Dun, 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 dun.
So they get a tip that there's some people at the Chrysler Jefferson...
North plant.
North assembly plant.
Yep, builds a 2011 Grand Cherokee.
Go to lunch every day for a half an hour. Well, they don't really go to lunch. They go to the liquor store, and then they all meet in a park about a mile away. Where they consume a couple of
40s,
some large beers.
They pound it,
and it also looks like they're engaging in some illegal narcotic.
Yeah,
smoking.
The footage shows them hitting spliffs heavily.
Yeah, they're passing that thing around, and they're just hitting it till they're
it's like
a
Pink Floyd concert.
Yeah, and so the reporter says they followed them for 10 consecutive days.
Mm-hmm.
And they were 10 for 10.
Yep, all 10 days, they did the exact same thing.
And it looked like there was about, what, 3 or 4 carloads of people?
Yeah, it looked like there's probably about, I would say, 12 people altogether.
Yeah.
You know, a dozen or so. And then they'd drive
yep.
under some sort of influence, either liquor, beer, and or...
Weed.
Back to the factory whereupon they would build...
Continue working.
2011 Jeep Grand Cherokees.
For 3 more hours before they went home.
Yeah.
Oh, and you wonder why people are pissed at the unions.
And you wonder why vehicle quality has suffered.
Yeah.
I mean, the bottom line is that I think it's safe to leave the union out of this. It's safe to leave the bailout out of this and just look at the facts. The fact is that if I just dropped $38,000 on a 2011 Jeep Grand Cherokee last week, and I saw the footage of this, that the guys that put my vehicle together probably did so stoned or bombed out of their mind. Every time I get into that car that I paid $40,000 for, every time I turn the ignition key, I'm going to have new doubts. I'm going to wonder, okay, is this when the tie rod is going to come undone because the dude was so stoned he forgot to tighten it to spec? Is this going to send me and my family into a tree or a ditch or mm-hmm. another vehicle?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, granted, it's an extreme situation, but it's nothing that you should play with.
Well, to Chrysler's benefit, they had a spokesman come out, a vice president or president of the assembly Jefferson plant, that said that there are redundant processes in place. So even if a small group of people were not putting things together correctly, that their processes would catch that. And fix it.
That's fine.
Before
and dandy.
It actually hit the dealership or, you know, there's quality control that goes on redundantly.
But that's true. However, when somebody doesn't do their job and it gets caught at quality control, guess what happens? Back to the line it goes, and then it takes the place of a vehicle that is getting finished, which then drives up the price of the vehicle because of longer production times.
Yeah.
I think it's just stupid. I think it's absolutely stupid because, you know, do what you want to do on your own time. But and people say that, you know, they're on their lunch hour on their own time. Yeah, but then they worked for 3 hours building vehicles after that.
Right, so they're not and that really wasn't on their own time.
That wasn't their own time. You know, get high, get drunk, do what you want at home after work.
Yeah.
Don't do it before work. Don't do it during work. Look, I used to work in an auto plant. I used to pull into a parking lot and see empty liquor bottles all the time. Yeah, it's not good.
I'm sure you could tell some good stories, too.
Well, you know, that's probably about as in-depth as what I ever got with it. It was just seeing it in the parking lot. But... And people say that, oh, big deal, it happens all the time. That's the point. It shouldn't happen at all.
Yeah.
It just shouldn't happen, period. I mean, for every one of these guys doing that, there's 100 other guys out there that are more than willing to work twice as hard for half the pay, and they won't do it bombed or stoned because they've got house payments to make. These guys are making 30, 40, 50 bucks an hour stoned. What a good life that America provides for these guys. What a good life. Let's get into the bailout. We bailed, you know, Chrysler and GM out. Yes, yeah. We did. Okay. Without getting too political. So when people say that they were on their own time, no, they were on my time, Chris, yeah, and your time,
that's right,
and every person that's listening to this podcast.
Exactly.
I think it's an atrocity. And yeah, if the union backs them up, well, you know, then the union is just as responsible for poor quality and longer production times and having to use that redundant quality control system more so than necessary.
Which inflates the cost of your vehicle for you.
Mm-hmm. Nickel and dime, man, and it adds up. And it's a snowball effect.
Yep.
I'm not down on unions. I'm not down on the American auto worker. I'm down on the a-hole auto worker that just sucks the system dry and doesn't contribute whatsoever.
And it's those 12, 14 people that seem to give all the rest of them bad name.
That's right. We know a lot of people that work on the assembly lines, and they work hard, and they're proud of what they do.
Exactly.
These guys couldn't give a crap what they do.
I know.
What they do. As long as they get muffa and paid at the end of the day, at the end of the week. I'm bummed out about this. I really am. Because we're just to the point where the American auto workers are starting to get a good name again. And guess what? The people that see this footage, and this is going around, this is on the internet, so it's not just Detroit.
Trust me, I will be posting a link to this in the show notes as well.
If they were getting ready to buy a 2011 Jeep Grand Cherokee or even a 2011 Chrysler or even a 2011 American car, all the more reason for them to spin around and go, I guess I'll buy a Honda.
Yeah.
Because I don't hear about this happening with Honda. Whether it happens or not is another story.
You certainly wouldn't buy a Toyota since they don't know how to stop.
Well, yeah, but you know what I'm saying. Was it stop because people were stoned off their ass when they were building it?
Hey, who knows?
Yeah. Exactly, who knows? That's why it shouldn't happen anywhere, period. If I had a 2011 Jeep Grand Cherokee right now, I'd be taking it straight to the dealership and say, give me my money back, or you're going to hear from my lawyer. Yeah. Absolutely. And if I knew about that with my Camaro, I'd do the same damn thing.
Yeah.
If it was that blatant that they go to a public park every day to get stoned with it. I mean, they're sitting there in the car with a door wide open. It's not like, you know, like high school parking.
They were not hiding it at all.
Yeah, they were standing
with wide open there.
Bottles in the brown paper bag. And
some of them didn't even have the paper bag.
And when the investigative reporter goes to finally confront them after the 10th day, he's like, don't you have some Jeeps to build?
Yeah.
Some of them were, they you know, like hid their faces with their hats and some of them were laughing.
Yeah.
This was a joke to them.
Yeah.
You guys can.
Even one of them was driving a Mustang too.
And they couldn't get out of that parking lot fast enough after pounding beers.
Yeah.
So, you know what?
Oh, geez.
They need to get fisted. You know, get punched.
Yeah. This probably isn't as big a story elsewhere around the United States because we're like Motor City Capital here. I mean, we live and breathe cars. That's our economy here. So, of course, this is always top news. It's always something automotive is top news here.
Yeah, but thing
besides everybody getting killed in Detroit.
Is the good news doesn't make it as far as the bad news does.
Right.
So out there in California, there's probably a lot of good news that they missed.
Yeah.
But they're going to see this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And this is a big black eye on the face of the automotive industry. I think they just set us back a year.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm exaggerating, but that's what it feels like. I'm disgusted and appalled.
Yeah.
Shame on you guys if you take part in this.
Ugh, unbelievable. And
if you don't like it, don't do it because you know it's wrong.
We would be interested in hearing everybody else's comments. And what do you think about this? I mean, depending on where you live in the United States, is this like a... Oh, well, that's a typical UAW worker. I mean, what do you think? We definitely want to hear from you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Call in, leave a voicemail, or drop us an email. We definitely want to hear your opinion.
The number, I'll give this later on in the usual bumper, but it's 586-486-3182. Yep. And you can use our email form at Webmaster. You can just email us webmasters@camaroz28.com. I'll give this out a little later in the show. Got to move on. I could rant about this for an hour and a half straight. So
sorry for the no Camaro content.
Didn't mean to offend anybody. I just got a strong opinion about this. So let's get on to some Camaro stuff, huh?
Yeah.
All right, let's get some good news.
Okay, so last week we talked how we were going to SEMA.
Yeah.
And as you know, being SEMA members, you know, CamaroZ28.com is a SEMA member. We get a daily or weekly, you know, email blast from SEMA with some goings on and stuff like this. Well, this caught my eye this week because this was sent out by SEMA, and it is spy shots.
We've seen them.
Cadillac meets Camaro Z28.
Sure it does.
It's got some spy shots from the normal people, Chris Doan, Brenda Pretty.
Yeah, the red car that everybody says is a Z28 with the black wheels.
And a big number 2 on the side.
Right.
It says, testing of the 2012 Camaro Z28 seems to be in full swing, says spy photographer Brenda Pretty, who sent these shots of a prototype blasting past her lenses. Through the front-end camouflage, you can see a much larger air intake in the lower fascia, as well as a pronounced lip spoiler, Pretty says. We've been told the Z28 front end will be quite close to the Transformers Camaro GM showed in the 2009 Chicago Auto Show. The Z28 side profile shows a serious wheel tire brake package. A set of 20-inch wheels wrapped in Goodyear Eagle F1 Supercar G2 tires appears to be the order of the day for the Z28, and the brakes appear to be the same that are found on the Cadillac CTS-V. Clearly and unmistakably taken from the CTS-V is the 6.2-liter LSA supercharged V8, which emits an exhaust note that Pretty Shooter described as unholy. Watch for the 2012 Z28 to go on sale Q1 or Q2 of 2011. Okay. Who the hell wrote this? And why is SEMA distributing this?
Well, let's see here. So if it has Cadillac brakes, that means it's going to be on the production alleged Z28. What about that checker paint job? Does that mean it's going to be on there too?
God, I hope so.
You know, I have... God, I hope not. I have...
Fitz, make sure that's an option, please.
Yeah. We want the gaudy-ass checker package.
Can mine say number 35 instead of 2?
Look, things... I'll just say this. Things may not always be as they appear.
Yeah.
In this case, it might be, but not always. In fact, I'm not gonna do it. I know
you're gonna go off again.
No, I'm just saying that, you know, they're making some interesting strides with all levels of performance.
No doubt.
That's what I'll say. I'll just leave it at that. So,
but this is ready to come out. Q1, Q2, even before the convertible.
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty funny. Hey, go back to where it says it's clearly and evidently the LSA.
It says clearly and unmistakably.
Right.
Taken from the CTS-V is the 6.2-liter LSA supercharged V8, which emits an exhaust note that Pretty Shooter described as unholy.
So it's clearly.
Clearly.
I don't see it in the picture. Is the hood transparent?
No, I don't see it.
I don't see it either. So how is it clear? Besides that,
must have an X-ray filter on their camera or something.
Yeah, they must be really good. Maybe they saw it, but it's not clear in those pictures. And I also do know that there's been a lot of times when, God, I had a buddy of mine. He had a six-cylinder Ford Ranger with headers on it.
Yeah.
That sounded unholy.
Yeah?
Yeah.
For a six-cylinder.
For a six-cylinder.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Who knows?
God, that thing was raucous. It was abusive, but... Hey, you know what? It like we always say, it probably is, but
yeah,
there's nothing all that apparent, and I really I'd be surprised at that date. Yeah. I'd really be surprised.
Yeah, me too.
Fitz is listening.
I know
right
he's probably
now.
Just rolling, laughing in his chair.
And Fitz knows how much I want to talk more, but I'm not gonna. So we got to move on.
Okay, let's move on.
But let's talk about stuff that is real.
That's real
for the Camaro. No
like
question.
Momentum
about
Motorsports.
Momentum Motorsports. Yep. We talked about this before. They're bringing some of their very well thought out racing technology to the street. They came out with their very, very first product that's coming out. There's actually two. One is, I believe, available now, which is a it's a cross brace that goes underneath like the by the trans mount. If anybody's running a larger exhaust system, they remove the tunnel brace. Well, this will replace it. It's a pretty stout piece. I don't have the information up in front of me, but I believe it's over $100, but not by much.
Yeah.
And then they also gave us a preview, and this is all on the CamaroZ28.com message board if you haven't seen it.
Yeah, I'm going to link it up in the show notes.
Of a nifty sway bar that's fully adjustable.
Oh, yeah. That looks pretty cool.
Yeah. And these guys, they're just not sitting there going, okay, let's just copy an existing design and change a couple little things. This is the technology that they run on their professional race team. And you got to love it because you hardly ever see that.
Yep. It says, in less than a minute, you will be able to go from a very stiff, nearly locked setup for drag race to a much more streetable bar that won't cause oversteer.
Yeah, definitely interesting and just a cool looking design. So that's coming soon. Keep your eyes on it and keep your eyes on the 2010 forums. And, we'll let the pictures speak for themselves because they look like neat items.
Yeah, real cool.
So, Chris, you tell me we've got, is that what's next is voicemails, right?
Yes.
You tell me we got some voicemails
here.
We
do.
All right.
Unlike last week where we only had one, we have like five.
All right. We better kick them off then.
Hey, guys. AJ, I want to say thanks for getting me last week to receive the project. I haven't got it yet, but I'll call you guys and let you know when I get it. I had a question about the four-pack gauges in the Camaro. I was planning on getting a 1SS RS package, and for the longest, I don't know why, I thought that the four-pack gauges came with the RS package, but I found out that they didn't. So I wanted to know what's the process of actually installing the four-pack gauges into the car. I know I have to buy the gauges through the dealer, but what's the process of actually installing and how difficult is it to install four-pack gauges in place of the low storage bin? Thanks, guys. Love the podcast.
Thanks for calling in, AJ. So he wants to know how to put the four-pack gauges in if he buys a 1SS car because they only come with a 2SS car.
Right. It's actually kind of simple. You just have to buy the right parts. You need to buy the four-pack gauges, and you have to buy a harness. And the connecting point.
I would assume it's already there.
It is there. It's just underneath the tunnel plastic. You know the console, I guess, is mm-hmm. what they call it.
Yep.
And it's really, really simple as far as I remember. And I'm going by memory. You need to buy the harness and the gauges. Obviously, plug the gauges into the harness and the harness into the main trunk line or the main harness of the vehicle. And it fits right in place of the little cubby that's there. So it's not cheap. I can tell you that much.
No.
It's in the hundreds of dollars to do this. Oh. Unless, you know, you can find a good deal on a used set of four-pack gauges.
Right.
Or whatever. I don't think there's anything more involved in that. I don't even think there needs to be any programming or anything. Post on the CamaroZ28.com message board in the interior, 2010 interior section.
See if anybody else has done it.
I know it's been done quite a bit. I just can't remember the process. The reason why I know this is because I did sell a four-pack gauge cluster.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Yeah, and because I had one that I was going to paint, and another one is a spare, and I wound up selling the spare to cover the paint job on the other one. And I researched it, and it could be done. It's not impossible. It's just you just got to follow the right procedures. So
okay, cool.
Post it up, and I'll see if I can. Somebody will be sure to help. And your prize pack is on the way, buddy. Thanks for calling in so much and winning our contest last month.
Okay, ready for the next one?
I am.
Hey guys, Bear. I was thinking about calling in this week, but I figured you probably have a pile of voicemails from last week that got rolled over. So, I'll try my darndest to make it down for SEMA, and I am super stoked about going to that. So, yeah, any gearhead stream to head down there for that. And as far as Jason with his car being a garage clean, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, people might bust their chops for it, but, hey, if you ain't got time to clean it, it's such a pain to clean. You know, when they get dirty, it's a good 7-8 hours. Just to get the thing back to where it was. I mean, I had mine when I was living out west for a while. I mean, I went through in like a 7-step wax job. I even WD-40'd the wheel wells, everything. It was spotless. Under the hood, Armor-All, their CD2 engine detailer, everything on that car was spotless. And my friends would come over and they'd look at it and he said, dude, look how clean his car is. And I said, yeah, that's why I don't drive it. You know, I take it like you said, it has to be very specific circumstances. If it's looking like it's going to rain, or if there's rain in the forecast, I'm not going to drive it. If it's windy, I'm not going to drive it. I don't feel like detailing that thing again. And yeah, so it's loud, low, and fast. Not as fast as yours, but yeah, you get the point. And as far as the iPhone app, that is a great idea because I listen to the podcast a lot on my iPhone. I've been downloading it through the website or go to the RSS feed through the podcast and listen to it that way. But I was thinking earlier, I wish there was an easier way to get the podcast on my phone or maybe even have it downloaded by itself so I don't have to plug it into the computer. And I got a Verizon 3G, 4G card for the computer, and even then to download a podcast it takes 20 minutes, you know. So I might as well just let the phone do what it's going to do or whenever your app comes out. Alrighty then, guys. Have a good one. Thanks.
There's our good friend Bearsy28 calling in.
Yeah, always good awesome. To hear from you. Probably calling from the road, I would assume.
Calling to help you out there with your last week.
To back
thing
me up. No, garage queen. You know, I like driving my car. I like cleaning it too. I like detailing it, but sometimes I don't want to detail it unnecessarily. I just got a news flash on my phone, Chris.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's going to be a little kind of late by the time everybody hears this episode, but on September 24th, Chevrolet is going to auction off the very first sample of the Camaro convertible in Las Vegas at the Barrett Jackson auction.
Oh, yes. I read about that.
Proceeds going to the YMCA of Southern Nevada. Nevada?
Yeah.
Nevada?
Whatever.
Nevada. Debbie Chang. 50 points to whoever can guess what that's from. So check it out in the 2010, which forum is this going to be? 2010, 2011 Camaro News Sightings, Pictures, and Multimedia.
Nice.
Sorry to trump you there, Bear. Thanks for calling in, buddy, and thanks for backing me up on the car detailing.
Okay. Let's move on to our next caller.
All right.
Hey, guys. AJ96E28 from the boards. Just want to get your feelings on, SEMA coming up and in general the Camaro, how it's showing up on websites and in most of the magazines. I'm kind of on the fence whether we should be celebrating how popular it is, but I think almost 90% of the cars that I see that are modified or pimped out, as it were, just make me cringe, and I almost wonder if it's harmful to the car's perception or reputation, whatever you want to call it. I'm curious where you guys, should we celebrate the fact that it's so popular, modified so much, or is it almost a negative? Because, again, I think some of them are just so over the top and outrageous that it's almost comical to look at. And another comment or suggestion or something maybe for a future podcast is for Jason, if you would take a little bit of time and talk about your disciple meeting. Just walk us through the whole day. You know, most people, fans of us, never get an opportunity. We want to live a little vicariously through your experience. So could you walk us through the disciple day? Just break it down, what you did, you know, over the course of the hours and what it was like, and a little bit talk about more of the disciples, like what are they like, what are their backgrounds, their what was the demographics of the group, to find out who's there talking about the car and so forth. So again, keep up the great work on the podcast. Thanks.
Hey, thanks for calling in again. AJ96Z28.
Got a couple of AJs that get mixed up. Got to know them by voice.
Yeah, no kidding.
One thing I did notice at car shows this summer is that a lot of people were attracted
to some of the gaudy stuff.
It's not a matter of planning out how you want your car to look. It's just whipping out the credit card and buying every doodad and stick-on that they can just to have doodads and stick-ons.
Because it's there.
Oh, somebody made this chrome turn signal trim kit.
Yeah.
Buy it, stick it. Yeah. You know, and far be it for me to, you know, ridicule anybody's choice of their cars, but at the same time, It's just like a painting. You don't just smear your brush across the canvas. You got to plan it out.
Right.
That's my opinion. I'm no expert. Well, kind of, but...
I don't think all the modifications people are doing are hurting the image of the car. There's some people who do go over the top, and trust me, we saw it at SEMA last year. Over the top.
Holy crap.
But I can respect the amount of work that goes into modifying something's car, whether you like it or not.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of work in detail and probably hours and hours and hours.
Hundreds of man hours.
Yeah, that go into designing that. And if you can take one piece of, I don't know, something you see on the car and say, it doesn't have to be the whole package, just one piece of it. That looks kind of neat. Maybe you want to do that with your car, or gives you sparks an idea to do something similar to that. That's cool. I'm all for it. Yeah, I don't care for the, you know, the 24 inch gold rims with spinners on them and Lambo doors and stuff like that. No, it's not for me. But I can definitely respect the modifications and the process that goes into doing it.
And the trained eye can definitely tell when something was peel and stick,
mm-hmm.
and or when something was hacked together.
Yeah.
But even if it looks over the top and too much, if there's still solid work in it, it does show. No question about it. Speaking about disciple meetings, I can talk a little more next week.
Okay.
Just don't have time this week, so yeah. Be sure to tune in. And if you want to get your voicemails, what, we got two more after this?
Yeah, we got a couple more.
So anyway, in the meantime, if you want to get your voicemails and emails in for next week, here's how.
To stay informed and in touch with the Camaro Z28.com crew, go to the message boards at CamaroZ28.com. If you have a question for the podcast, call the Camaro Z28.com voicemail hotline. The number is 586-486-3182. That's 586-486-3182.
Speaking of emails, we got this into our main email contact form at CamaroZ28.com/contact.
I didn't piss anybody off this week. I don't know if you did.
I think this was a random act of stupidity.
Oh, okay.
I'm just going to keep this really brief. I just thought it'd be funny to read. I'm going to have to paraphrase a good portion of this, even though it's one sentence long. I got to paraphrase about half of it.
Yeah, because the language in it is not, we can't use it on the air here.
Yeah, well, we could, but, well, the email address has the word Henry, I guess as in miso Henry, and then another word following that I'm not going to, starts with an F. Ends with a T. The forum.
AOL.com.
What's that?
AOL.com.
Yeah. The forum name is has the word ass and then another word that. Yeah. It says, "Hey, you are a something, and you will brun in hell for that."
Yeah, that's it.
That's it.
Yeah.
So, it has to do with drinking, and not. Anything out of a bottle.
I believe I did trace that IP out east. There's someone out east there.
Gee, thanks a lot.
Those are always funny to get.
Yeah.
I like reading those because they're just...
For the record, I'm not drunk. I haven't been drinking today.
Right.
I didn't clear that up, at the beginning of the podcast.
Right.
So I might as well do it now.
It was just because of the title of the show.
on. So, but whoever wrote this was either juvenile, drunk, or had a severe learning disability.
Because we're running close to time, I'm going to do one more voicemail this week because the last one we got, I think Bear called in again.
Okay.
And it's a pretty long voicemail, so we'll save that for next week.
All right. Good deal. So we got one left today?
One more to go. Here we go.
Hey, Chris and Jason. I was at the podcast. You guys going up to Milford, Michigan, and they got an article on it in Camaro Performers, and you can go in and see all the pictures on their website. I'm here with my wife. We're heading out to the consignment store. And we saw another fugly Synergy green Camaro. I don't know what they're doing with that, but I guess some girls like that color. I don't know. But this is Pistol Packin' Dave, the Pistol Packin' postal worker. And you guys have a great podcast. I love listening to it at work. Take care. Rock on. Bye.
Dave, are you going out on lunch break? And
Careful, man.
No, our pistol packing Dave, the postal worker, is one of our regulars.
And yeah.
He's funny.
Winner of the previous month's contest that we had. And if you don't know about it, we're picking a voicemail a month and sending out a cool prize pack. Dave won the previous month. AJ, who called in earlier in this episode as well, won this past month. And then, we're going to be giving out another one at the end of this month.
Yeah.
So soon.
And Dave still doesn't like Synergy Green.
And it was his Synergy, anti-Synergy Green voicemail that did get us talking, that did get us laughing, that did win him a prize.
Yeah.
So,
Awesome.
Thanks for calling in, Dave. And Bear, we'll play yours next week. We're running short on time here for this week's episode.
Yeah.
So I've got some unfortunate news.
Oh, okay.
A gentleman named James Hartzell, or Hartzell, I would assume Hartzell, has passed away not too long ago. He was the guy that dreamed up the whole baseball, hot dogs, apple pie, and Chevrolet ad back in, it was a black and white commercial at the time.
Yeah.
Some consider his commercial the best automobile commercial ever made.
Yeah.
And that's a good That's arguably true. And interestingly enough, I'm currently working in the building of the company that he worked for when he wrote that. And for all I know, the same
area,
building
desk
that it was originally done, for all I know, the same floor.
Yeah.
So it's really tragic. You know, it was definitely something that we need to pay our respects to, because when the Camaro was gone, a lot of people said Camaro is as American as apple pie and hot dogs, hot dogs and apple pie.
Yeah.
And that's what it came from.
Yeah.
So that wasn't something that was a national, you know, line like 4th of July. That was something that was actually developed for a Chevrolet advertisement. And this was published in the Freep, the Detroit Free Press.
Yep.
And there is a video, a modernized version of that old video, where they took old footage and spliced it with newer footage. And I think this was from the 80s or the 90s or something like that.
So.
But it was pretty cool. So rest in peace, James. You were very, very, we thank you very much for all your efforts. And then let's end this on a happy note. I've submitted my artwork for CamaroZ28.com diecast series 4.
Nice.
And waiting for approval. It's looking good.
Nice.
A lot of cool things are going to happen between now and the end of the year with CamaroZ28.com. Well, not a lot, but enough to make you go, "Hey, cool.
Those guys rock."
Yeah, well, we do, but you know, we don't need, you know, to make changes for you guys to say that. But starting the garage feature of the site was just the beginning.
Cool.
So, I think we got to skate on out of here. You know, oh, hey, it's lunchtime, Chris. Let's go get plowed.
Yeah.
Let's go build a car afterwards.
Give.
All right. Got knocked the... Okay. All right. Everybody, I guess, have a wonderful weekend, depending on when you're listening to this, and we'll catch you next time.
See you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Camaro Z28.com podcast. If you have questions or comments for Chris and Jason, call our voicemail hotline, 586-486-3182. Or send your comments by email, webmasters@CamaroZ28.com. Once again, thank you for listening to Camaro Z28.com podcast. We'll see you next week.